The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
All right, nerds. Big showdown with the Steelers and Ravens. We're going to talk about that in a second. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. See where D'Antoni went? And as what? Ooh, I got some thoughts on this. Be a part of the Max Kellerman Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back. So is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Tell you who won't be playing in Fansville this weekend. That's Trevor Lawrence. COVID positive, along with 90,000 other Americans yesterday. 90,000. Do you remember months ago when the President of the United States said, it's 15 people soon going down to zero? That's what he said. Magically, it's going to disappear. 15 going down to zero. 15 going up to 90,000 in a day. Millions and millions and millions. Almost a quarter million Americans dead from COVID. And for anyone who's been getting or is particularly susceptible to low quality information, it's only 10,000 dead from COVID. Everyone else either had diabetes or something else also. Yes, dummies. Listen. That's the point. It is especially dangerous for those with underlying conditions. And we're heading into flu season. It's not going to be good. By the way, apropos of this conversation, vote. I voted yesterday. I know you can hear me in New York. We're on in New York between 2 and 3 p.m. Eastern. And everyone's like, oh, but there are lines. I went to Madison Square Garden yesterday. No lines. Went zipped in and out. MSG. The 2 Penn Plaza side on 7th Avenue. You zip right in and out. Bring an ID. I mean, I'm registered to vote there, but still. If you are, it was quick. Anyway, Trevor Lawrence is not going to be able to play against Boston College. It may not matter against Boston College, which, by the way, Boston College produces NFL player. Damian Woody, or ESPN's very own Damian Woody, went to Boston College. You got all pros who go to Boston College. And Boston College has some wins this year. And they have some, well, it's not like a bad win to get against BC. And yet, Clemson has the kind of defense. I don't know a lot about their backup quarterback, but I understand they have the kind of backup quarterback, which also wouldn't surprise me. By the way, remember Alabama? Like, what's the backup quarterback? Tua was the backup. Tagovailoa was the backup for Alabama not long ago, right? You know. At any rate, Clemson should beat Boston College anyway. The question is, at least they're still favored to do so. The question is, can Trevor Lawrence get back after just a week? Hopefully. Right now he has mild symptoms, apparently. Hopefully his symptoms remain mild and he has an easier time with it than many. And hopefully there are no lasting effects. He was one of 90,000 new cases yesterday. He's, of course, the front runner for the Heisman Trophy. He's also the front runner to be picked number one overall in the 2021 draft. Coach Dabo Swinney said in a statement, Lawrence is in isolation and, quote, doing well with mild symptoms. And hopefully that's still the case. Lawrence said in a statement released on social media, quote, the only thing that hurts is missing an opportunity to be with my teammates this weekend and play the game I love. Lawrence's test was taken Wednesday. Under the rules established by the ACC's medical advisory group, any player who tests positive must isolate for at least 10 days after the test before returning to practice, assuming they are no longer showing symptoms that had put Trevor Lawrence at risk of missing not just the Boston College game, but the game against Notre Dame, at Notre Dame. That would really be a shame. Maybe, by the way, and maybe he makes it back for the game. I hope he is his normal self for that game. You know, hopefully his mild symptoms continue to be mild. He gets over it. Everything's fine. And we're watching Trevor Lawrence play against Notre Dame. But that's not really the big issue. Like, that's a mild inconvenience. Hopefully Trevor Lawrence is okay. His teammates are okay. And even more importantly, they don't or haven't transmitted the disease to others, and they have transmitted it to others, and then vulnerable people or people who are with underlying conditions are now especially vulnerable. Hopefully that's the case. And listen, I understand also a lot of people listen to sports like, listen, I don't care about these people as human beings. It's not that you don't actually care if you knew them and everything, but that's not why you're tuning in, to make sure that someone's teammates who you've never met are okay. As a human being, you might be like, oh, of course I hope everyone's okay, but that's what I'm listening for is, what does this mean competitively for the team I root for or for the big game I wanted to see? I get it. Presuming Trevor Lawrence gets back healthy, it could cost him the Heisman. If he misses a couple of games, it could cost him the Heisman. Justin Fields or someone else, you know, has a remarkable stretch. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. Meantime, Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan hopes a win over the Panthers sparks a second half surge. A second half surge. Ay, 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 the Falcons. I feel like Felix Unger in The Odd Couple. Oscar, Oscar, Oscar. The Falcons, oh my God. The Falcons and the Chargers. Who's the bigger, 888, say ESPN, who's the bigger jinxed organization? I don't just mean like terrible organization. I'm not talking about the Jets. I mean the franchise that keeps fielding teams where every time you have a lead, you're still like, ugh, I don't know. It's the fill in the blank. Is it Chargers or is it Falcons? I know there's reason to be optimistic with the Chargers. Because Herbert looks like the real deal. But there was optimism, you know, there's reason to be optimistic with Philip Rivers, who was the real deal. And still the Chargers invented ways to lose games. Matt Ryan's been really good. He hasn't been great, but he's been really good. He's been in some MVP hunts. His team went to the Super Bowl, had a big lead. He's put up big numbers. Yes, yes, Raj.
See, you just said it. That's why I think it's the Falcons, because they've gone to bigger heights, giving you more hope, and they've lost the Super Bowl.
That's a very good...
You had it. You were there. I was around Falcons fans watching that game. They were celebrating. It was, you know, they popped a bottle of champagne. That's a bigger jinx, Max.
Well, I see. But by that formula, whoever goes farther is going to be the answer. Like, I know the Falcons had an enormous lead in the Super Bowl and played, you know, prevent... offense, basically, and made mental errors and lost to the Patriots. I understand that's a more painful fall from a greater height. That's true. But is that the only formula? Think of how many times through the years the Chargers have blown it, and you're like, oh, well, of course. Or even individual games where they have leads, and you're like, yeah, well, the Chargers invented a way to lose. By the way, Warren Sharp of Sharp Analytics... we have as a guest on this show, tweeted about the fact that the NFL films may have made, I want to say Devontae Freeman, of course, Todd Gurley, look worse than he should have actually looked on that play where he scored when and that gave them time to score again, and he really should have not broken the plane, right? Not scored a touchdown, just got a first down. Warren Sharp says, this does not make sense how NFL films is framing it. This has to be from third and one, the prior play, not the touchdown on first and goal, because Ryan says two times, get the first and get down. Right? So NFL films tried to make it seem as though as though I want to say Todd Gurley. I keep wanting to say Devontae Freeman. Todd Gurley like had just been told something, and that. But here's the bigger thing, and this is like this is the same thing when they lost to the Cowboys, and they didn't realize it was an onside kick. What did they think? It was a punt? Like, what did they think? It's not just that one player thought that. What you saw is like five or six guys around that ball all treating it the same way. And that is not just bad awareness on the part of special teams. That really does speak to coaching, you would think. But here's the well, here's the next thing, right? New coaches, right? But same Falcons. Warren Sharp's better point to me. Atlanta coaches should have called two knees and a field goal, not a run. Don't just blame Gurley. Think about that. Two knees and a field goal, and you win. Anyway, that's not about last night. Last night they won, according to reports. Did you watch Thursday Night Football? Julio Jones was in the zone last night with seven catches for 137 yards. Get in the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone.
All right, Max, here's what we're going to do. You know how we do it. You like listening, riding around. You got all, so many big matchups. Problem is,
we got a great
we can't get to them
week.
Because you love hearing your voice. So you spend 5 minutes on each game. So I'm going to give you 60 seconds. I'm going to throw out some matchups to you. You got 60 seconds. You go over. They're getting flagged. We're going to blow the whistle and mute you. So give me the first one. Chris, hit me with it.
Steelers at Ravens.
That's right. An AFC matchup. A second time in a row. Steelers got to beat Tesco, Max.
This is a big game for Lamar Jackson. He's lost three times to the Chiefs in the regular season, twice in the playoffs, and basically not at all otherwise. He wins almost every single regular season game he plays, and then in the five biggest games of his life, he's lost and hasn't played particularly well. Now, for the first time, he's facing Ben Roethlisberger. A Ben Roethlisberger who the RPO's not working out great for Pittsburgh, but Roethlisberger's not holding the ball forever anymore. He's getting rid of it. And remember how I said Pittsburgh versus Tennessee is old school, like country hardball, fastball pitcher, fastball hitter. Tennessee wants to run. Pittsburgh stops the run. Let's bring it, see what happens. Tannehill's going to have to win. And Tannehill played well, but actually special teams for the Steelers was a difference. Well, here, Derrick Henry and Tannehill are rolled up into one player, Lamar Jackson. They're going to want to take the run away. He's going to have to beat them with his arm, and he's really going to have to do it. He's going to have to show it on a big stage. This is the best rivalry in the NFL.
Seahawks.
I didn't hear a whistle.
I'm so proud of you.
I didn't hear a whistle.
There was a whistle. There was a whistle. Stop right there.
The best rivalry in the NFL. Good, now.
The next one is a rivalry.
It's the best rivalry. What? What?
This next one's getting slept on. The 49ers at Seahawks. Start the clock. Right.
Might be the second best rivalry in the NFL. Look, the 49ers have looked very good when Garoppolo has been healthy. Just as I'm like, hey, there's something wrong with Cam. He's looked worse and worse right around the time he had COVID, right? Garoppolo, once he was benched, you knew something's wrong. Are they going to keep him on the bench? Something's wrong. Oh, see, I told you Garoppolo's no good. Yeah, right. That's why he only ever wins practically, right? That was the ankle. He came back with a vengeance against the Patriots. I think people are starting to sleep on Seattle. Seattle, like, you start to hear a lot about the Bucs. It's going to be Bucs, Packers. Russell Wilson's playing out of his mind. He had one bad game. They almost won that game. They barely lost that game. And here's the other thing. Bobby Wagner with Jamal Adams, when you have two difference makers like that, Jamal Adams is a difference maker, future Hall of Fame caliber talent difference maker. You have him on the field, it's going to make a difference. Good.
Patriots at Bills.
I didn't call the game, by the way.
We talked about it a lot with Cam. Must win. Biggest game of his career. Go. Start the clock.
Yeah. Cam started out the year. He beat the Dolphins by two scores. He almost beat the Seahawks. Bobby Wagner made a play. Goal line stand. He beat the Raiders by three scores. Well, those look like good wins against the Dolphins, and especially the Raiders by that margin, you know, at this point in the season. Then he got COVID. He couldn't play. And he hasn't been good since then. I believe he's suffering lingering effects. Like, what, did he forget how to play? It's a huge game against the Bills. The Bills' defense gets after it usually. Josh Allen also has something to prove. I expect Cam to look good this game. It's now yet another week removed from the illness. He's highly motivated. He's not making any excuses. I think Cam's going to look good. I like the Patriots, believe it or not. Look at that, under the time.
Saints and Bears.
Look at you. This is, I think, is a sneaky good matchup. Saints versus Bears, two different style teams. What do you got, Max?
It's a really good matchup, especially since the Bears really need a bounce back game. I think the Bears looked as bad as they could look against the Rams. It's just a bad matchup for them. Aaron Donald coming at you up the middle, right? So like Nick Foles with no pocket to step into. And then on top of that, the punter keeps pinning you within 5 yards of the goal line, right? So that's like a really bad formula against the Bears. That's not exactly the Saints. Different kind of team. Even if you like the Saints in this game, I expect the Bears to look much better than they did against the Rams. Nick Foles is not a guy, as I said on First Take today, who's going to overcome all your problems. And maybe the offensive line just means the Bears aren't going to be any good, in fact. But if the offensive line could just get a little better, right? Robinson's a good enough lead receiver. Their backs are probably good enough if the offensive line plays better. And Nick Foles is the kind of guy with a defense who can take you there, can overcome all your problems. But if you iron out some of those problems, he can get you over the hump. I think the Bears are going to do better against the Saints than people expect.
Rams and Dolphins.
Now the Rams surprised us against the Bears. At least they surprised you and I. This week they got the Dolphins. Where are you going, Max?
I like the Rams in the game. I think that the idea of starting Tua Tagovailoa against the Rams, it's not just the timing. I think it's intentional. That's baptism by fire. If your first NFL game under center, and you're coming off a catastrophic injury, if that first game is against Aaron Donald, that's the dude closest to you on the defense is Aaron Donald. I think maybe it's like, hey, let's show Tua this, and then after this, he's going to be good. You tell him after this game, don't worry about this kid. I know you got sacked 3 times, but you ain't ever going to. You're seeing that once a season. You don't have to worry about that dude. Not even once a season. You know, when's the next time the Rams are on the Dolphins' schedule? So I understand. I like the Rams in the game, but I get why you start Tagovailoa against Aaron Donald in the Rams' defense. Rams looked very good against the Bears.
Vikings at Packers.
NFC North showdown, Max. Who you got?
Boy, when you talk about coaching, you know how I said about guys like Nick Foles, they need the right situation. Chip Kelly, he has Chip Kelly, 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, goes 8-2 as a quarterback. That, you know, his quarterback record was 8-2 that year as a starter. You know, he goes to Jeff Fisher, can't get anything done. He gets the right coaching in Philadelphia, wins a Super Bowl, makes a playoff run the following year, wins a playoff game, only almost win another one, both on the road. Then he goes to the Jags, you know, bad situation for him. No, he got the money, but the situation wasn't right. Can't get anything done. I think the same thing about Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is he's an average-ish starter. He needs to be in the right situation. And damn, you think Stefanski was the right guy for him? I mean, he looks like the right guy for Baker Mayfield, who's another guy who fits into that category. I think without Stefanski, the Vikings are toast on offense, and Aaron Rodgers is going to carve up the defense. Packers over Vikings.
Cowboys at Eagles.
You know what? I'm not going to give them 60 seconds. It's Sunday Night Football, but they don't deserve 60. You only got 30 for this matchup.
I'm taking Carson Wentz and DraftKings. And you know how I feel how inconsistent Carson Wentz is. I'm taking him in DraftKings.
My Cowboys defense is that bad, dog. We that bad.
They're that bad. But by the way, Mike McCarthy got to get them to play in a way it looks like they're not quitting. Right, you can't. I understand your outmatches and that. You can't make it look like your team quit. McCarthy's job is on the line right now. I don't care what the Cowboys say. Not necessarily in this game, but this season, your team can't play like it quit.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Is there a surprise team in rebuilding mode? Get to that in a little bit. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us in the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. You know, let's take a call, Raj. I want to get into this D'Antoni stuff, but let's take a call. Aaron in Michigan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Young Man Rumble, what up?
That's it. Rumble, Young Man Rumble.
Check it out, man. The most star-crossed franchise in the NFL has got to be the Detroit Lions. I know you work for ESPN, so your research team is better than mine. I work for Taco Bell. But the year that the Lions went 0-16, I believe that we lost 9 of our games by one score or less.
Listen. I know where you're going with this. I understand what you're saying. No, because the Lions don't make anyone think that they can that they're going to win. Like the Chargers had many teams ago. They're going to win the Super Bowl. So did the Falcons. They can win the Super Bowl. The Lions, it's not the same. You're talking about, hey, we lost. We went winless when we could have been in all the. We were in all these games and we could have won. It's no one is looking at the Lions going Super Bowl aspirations. But that is not the case with the Chargers and the Falcons, because they've had. Look, Stafford is, to me, easily in a Philip Rivers, Matt Ryan category. But he has not had, I guess, the organization around him that the other two have had. Because the Lions are never in the beginning of the season. You know, who's gonna, here's my sleeper pick to win the whole thing, the Lions. No. News from Max Kellerman Nation. Aaron just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. So, Mike D'Antoni. And I know it's the assistant from the Spurs. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Udoka. I thought it was Udoku. But anyway, Ime Udoka are finalizing deals to become assistant coaches under Steve Nash for the Brooklyn Nets. Udoka's been with the Spurs for a long time. And that it seems to check out around the league as a good hire. D'Antoni is the big name here, obviously. Look, what does this mean for the Nets to get Mike D'Antoni as an assistant? Stephen A. and I had a big debate about this on First Take today. It's like, D'Antoni never won a championship. Mike D'Antoni has never had a roster where you looked at it and you said, that's the best roster in the NBA. Well, one time you could have argued preseason, maybe he did, and it did not work out. It's true. And that was the Lakers when they traded for Dwight Howard and Steve Nash, and they still had Pau Gasol and Kobe Bryant. Heading into that year, maybe you could say that's the best roster. And do I consider Mike D'Antoni a top three or four coach in basketball? No, I don't. He's in the next tier. And the reason is, when he doesn't have a muse, when he doesn't have a point guard who will play the way he wants them to play, he doesn't have buy-in from the primary ball handler, I haven't seen him figure it out and work it out with them the way, say, Phil Jackson would with Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. I see him just be like, ah, there's nothing I can do. Kobe staged a mutiny on that team. I was there. I was there for it. I was getting the straight dope straight from the horse's mouth. Kobe staged a mutiny. At a certain point, he's like, look, what you're doing is not working. Pau is not a stretch for whatever you want to do. This is not the way. We're going to do it my way. And Kobe played himself 46 minutes a game, something like that, you know. And by the way, played them into the playoffs. They were going to miss the playoffs with that team. Kobe played them into the playoffs and snapped his Achilles in the process. But Kobe never bought into D'Antoni. Neither did Carmelo. So it didn't work out with the Knicks. But anytime he gets buy-in from the primary ball handler, D'Antoni does much more with what he has than he ought to. Like, the Rockets, put it this way. James Harden bought in with D'Antoni, right? The Rockets never had the best talent in the NBA. In fact, the Golden State Warriors won 73 games, added Kevin Durant, and at the point they did that, LeBron James was making comments going into the final series against them, like, he's basically saying, like, we don't have a shot, and he was right. And LeBron had Kyrie and Kevin Love. Not enough. And he's right. Not enough. Not fair. I mean, I get trying to make a super team, but a super duper team? You won 73 games and then you add KD? But recall, the very next season, now KD has experience playing them. He has KD, Steph, Klay, and Dre. He has everything you need. And Iggy was on that team. Iguodala. Ridiculous. You're never going to lose a game. You're coming off a championship win where you stomped out Cleveland with LeBron and Kevin Love and Kyrie. Know what happened? They played a game 7 on the road that year. How did that happen? Mike D'Antoni's Rockets. Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey decided we're going to play the most efficient brand of basketball, whether people like it or not, whether it's pretty to watch or not. We're only taking threes. We're only shooting shots in the paint. And we're taking free throws. That's it. That's all we're doing on offense. But the math adds up. Sure enough, if they hadn't had the coldest shooting performance probably in the history of basketball from three against the Warriors in that game 7, they probably win the championship that year. As is, they only lost by single digits in game 7 to the KD, Steph, Clay, Dre defending champion Warriors, who twice stomped out the LeBron James, Kyrie, Kevin Love Cavs. Stomped them out. But the Rockets almost beat them. The Rockets should have beaten them. It was a fluky kind of ice-cold shooting night that lost it for them. And even then by single digits. Why is that? That's because it's a D'Antoni-coached team. Phoenix, except for suspensions, ejections, and suspensions, probably would have won a championship with D'Antoni. I'm not saying he's the best coach in the world. I'm saying here's what D'Antoni can do when you don't have the world's best. And I'm looking for a head coach because we're not in the playoffs. I want to be on SportsCenter. I want our fans to be excited. I want to make the playoffs. I want to have a fun style to watch. I want to get the most out of my team. I'm hiring D'Antoni in a second. You can't tell me that there wasn't a line around the block among those kind of teams that would have lined up to sign D'Antoni as a head coach. And yet he chose to go as an assistant to Steve Nash. You know what it reminds me of? When Sean McVay got the head coaching job, because he was only 30, and he was a wunderkind, right? Look at him. He's a boy genius. But they put Wade Phillips as his D coordinator. And Wade Phillips was a very respected head coach. Huh? He was a very respected head coach. Not considered the greatest head coach in the world, but respect. You talk to players who played for Wade Phillips, they think that, you know. And he had a winning record as a head coach, a good winning record. But he came as defensive coordinator for Sean McVay because he brought gravitas and experience with him for a 30-year-old head coach. It worked out pretty well. You have a guy like D'Antoni. It's not just all the experience that he and Nash think the game alike. All the success they had in Phoenix. And now who do they have? Who does Steve Nash have as his muse at point guard? Who can D'Antoni help him with? Kyrie Irving? Kyrie's going to average 30-10.
So you like it, Max. You're okay with it?
Well, let me put it in the ZipRecruiter.
That's what I'm saying. I want to see what the machine says. I heard what you're talking about. Let's put it in the machine. Type it in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. It's printing out.
Uh-oh.
Job search engine, you can't say that on the radio. It says, hey, Raj, no bleep, Sherlock. That's what the ZipRecruiter job search engine said. It's a perfect match, Raj. It said, fool, don't bother me with this question.
I've been wasting my data.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, come on. Can you imagine the numbers? You know how fun it's going to be to see the numbers that Kyrie's about to put up? Because, like, you know, Steve Nash was incredibly skilled. He was the original Steph Curry in the sense that, except he dribbled much more than Steph Curry, but so does Kyrie. But in the sense that he's a mobile artillery unit, right? Never picked up his dribble, could shoot, and back then it seemed like from anywhere, and was a great pure shooter. Then D'Antoni has James Harden, who's extremely skilled. But Kyrie is different. Kyrie is as skillful a player as you want to see, but he combines it with elite athletic ability, something Harden doesn't have. Whoa, and now it's D'Antoni 2.0 in Nash. Nash with his own ideas, but like I'm sure he's taken a lot of D'Antoni's philosophy, and D'Antoni's on the bench. The Brooklyn Nets have just squashed any relevance the Knicks will ever have in this town. It's over for the Knicks. The Nets have taken over New York. The Knicks are a joke. They're a laughing stock. There is only one New York team. It is the Brooklyn Nets. Knicks fans, you have a choice. You didn't used to have a choice. The Knicks ran unopposed in New York for decades. The Nets were in Jersey. The Nets were in the ABA, and then they were in Jersey. They were ABA in Long Island, then they were in Jersey. They're in Brooklyn. A team is in New York City, in Brooklyn, USA. You have a choice, Knicks fans. You do not need to suffer the abuse at the hands of James Dolan anymore. You do not need to. You can root for another New York team. And they're going to be out-of-market fans even rooting for the Nets. That's how fun they're going to be to watch and how good they're going to be.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Cam says it's a must-win game. We'll get into that later. Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. Going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
You
hear this, Max?
I do. I loved that show when I was a kid.
Yeah, times were great for you guys even back then. I know, boy. But anyway. Happy days for who? No.
Yeah.
Henry Winkler turned 75 today.
You see slave owners in the antebellum South. Happy days!
Nevertheless, yeah. That's not the point.
Yeah,
the Fonz. Remember, Henry Winkler was the Fonz, was the coolest TV character ever. Now I'm talking about John Travolta as Vinny and Welcome Back, Carter. You got Crockett and Tubbs and Miami Vice. You had some cool characters, but the Fonz was the
Here's the difference.
TV character.
Yeah, no doubt. Let me tell you why.
Yeah.
He could hit the jukebox and make it play just because he was so cool. Like, no one else could even do that.
But you know what I thought was the coolest?
The Fonz was so cool. I mean, like, you look back now, because you know Henry Winkler's a big nerd. You know the Fonz is actually a nerd, too. But remember when they were going to launch Mork, when they were going to launch Robin Williams as in Mork from Work, right?
Yeah.
He had special alien space powers. And the Fonz actually battled him with his cool powers against Mork's space powers. I think the Fonz lost, but still, even the fact that it was a fight.
It was a fight. It went to decision. No, I thought the coolest thing about the Fonz is he always had one on each arm, and they knew about each other.
The only thing is, I have to go back and watch. I haven't seen that show in decades. Were they high school girls? Because the Fonz was an adult by then.
Nah, here we go. All right, next one. So, listen.
By the way, my mother grew up in the same building as Gary and Penny Marshall. Marshall, Laverne from Laverne and Shirley, and Gary Marshall. He invented all those shows.
Okay.
In the Bronx. Right. Yep.
Nice. Real quick. I'm going to skip this one. I'm going to go to one because you teased it. Patriots apparently will listen to offers for almost anyone. My question to you is, Pats are low-key in rebuilding mode.
I don't think that's low key, number one. But number two, I think in that case you could say they're no doubt. But they're always in low key and rebuilding mode. In that case, we've seen Belichick trade Pro Bowl defensive players in their prime for draft picks. Like what? What did he just do? He's gangster like that, you know.
All right.
Hey, by the way, he tried to get Brady out of there. You know, when Brady still had something left. Because he wanted to move on to Garoppolo. Belichick's not sentimental. Only guy he's sentimental about is Lawrence Taylor. That's the only dude you can't say anything about in front of Belichick.
All right. And real quick, despite the COVID controversy, and although he turns 35 in November, the Dodgers should re-sign Justin Turner.
Nah, son. You know, it depends on the price and all that stuff, just from the point of view of a baseball. But he also, in addition to endangering people, he overshadowed the World Series. So selfish. Clayton Kershaw, Mookie Betts, the Dodgers, going back to Hershiser and Gibson, and everyone's talking Justin Turner? He's a good third baseman. Like he's a valuable player, can play multiple infield positions and really hit. But I'm very down on Justin Turner right now. Speaking of the Pats, Cam says it's a must-win. Is he right?
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.